The main delegation went for Ron Paul.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not. 18 delegates.
Why, for heaven's sake? That is ridiculous.
Nope. Ron Paul.
It's not going to help us against Obama.
And I railed against it on Facebook, and I railed against it on Google Plus in the one circle, and I railed against it. I'm sorry, but they're pushing their delegates to go for Ron Paul, and I'm sorry. I said to my local representative who's sponsoring this on Facebook, you know, the conversation, they just handed Barack Hussein Obama the election as far as Maine is concerned.
Okay. So, and wait a minute, folks, that is it. From Lou up in Maine, who knows? And this is Political QRM.
And insert bumper music here. Saying that. I do.
Hey, yeah, I know. It's just like, I cannot understand what is going on with Maine. What?
And they chided me for saying, thank you, tinfoil hat people, for giving Barack Hussein Obama the re-election. Maine's delegate count is going for Ron Paul. And I apologize to America. I do. But not that I was a part of it, because, you know, we do have a caucus system here. We don't have a primary system. And 18 delegates for Ron Paul. And I just can't. I understand it. I do. I understand it because of the fact that people don't want to elect Mitt Romney, Democrat from Massachusetts. But with the numbers being what they are, where even the Green Party, who in the past has gotten 2.7% of the vote, none of the Libertarians have never gotten more than 1%. Mm-hmm. If they quintupled or sextupled,
yeah,
or octupled that percentage, that's 8%.
Yeah,
8% exactly. Of the vote wasted,
yeah.
Gone.
Yeah, exactly. Gone. Yeah,
so it's like 8%. I'm sorry, equals. Fail.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's 8% of the vote that had it gone behind a mainstream candidate. You know, if a guy had 40% and Barack Hussein Obama had 40%, that 8% could matter.
That's right. That's right.
It could matter.
You know, a lot of them are, and I have to understand, you know, I understand the fact that they want to vote the conscience, and that's fine. However, once you get to the general election, you have to look at the two candidates. And, you know, Romney is a candidate who loves America. And the funny thing is that Obama, in his initial campaign speech at Ohio State University,
where nobody was there.
That's right. he even said, well, you know, Mitt Romney is a patriotic American. Well, guess what? Guess who isn't? You, Barack Obama.
That's right. My thing is, look, I have no problem with people voting their conscience. And you're going to hear me say something I have never, ever said before in my life in a place where people could hear me.
Mm-hmm.
If you really want to vote your conscience, and voting your conscience means that you're going to vote for Ron Paul, stay home.
Yeah, I know. I know. I know. Both you and I agree that voting is very, very important. You know, but at this point in time, stay home.
I would never tell someone to forfeit their right or cast aside their right. They're not back up. Their responsibility as a citizen of these United States to cast their vote in their state local precinct. Yeah. I would never, ever dream in the past to ever advise anyone to not cast a vote, even if they were voted, even if I knew the person was a Democrat or if they were a communist, I would never tell someone, please stay the heck home. Never, even in jest.
That's right.
But right now, if you're thinking that the answer to the issue is to go to your local precinct and vote for Ron Paul or write in I adore Colonel West. You know mm-hmm. that?
Yes.
I think he's a fine American. I put him nonpareil among some of the candidates out there. If your idea is to go vote for Paul or West or Bachman, write in, you know, a Ty Cobb. I don't know what's the difference. Whatever, Mickey Mouse. You know, if your idea is to go down and vote that way, stay home.
That's true.
Do me a favor, stay home.
Yeah, and you have a point there. A lot of people seem to think that voting is a joke.
It's not a joke, but it affects, because we still have the Electoral College, which you know that I am not in favor of. You tend to be. I tend to not be.
That's right.
I believe in the popular vote. I believe in Vox Populi. I believe
know.
In the power to people. If you don't understand the fact, not you personally, I'm talking about our audience. You don't understand the way the Electoral College works. You don't understand what you're going to do to the balloting of the electors by voting for Ron Paul, Mickey Mouse, Ty Cobb. You're going to skew it so badly. You are basically saying, I vote for Obama.
That's right. I agree.
And I'm sorry, if Obama, and I'm going to reiterate this because you know I do it every time, if the current president of the United States is reelected, America, boys and girls, as we know it, everything you learned in school from kindergarten to 12th grade to your baccalaureate degree, everything you know about America, grab an eraser and hit the chalkboards.
That's right.
It's gone.
It is gone. It is gone. And but, you know, the problem is that a lot of the young, quote-unquote young people today don't understand it. I don't know if you did watch Sean Hannity on Fox News the other day, but it has been making the rounds.
I don't have television.
Okay, all right, that's fine, but it is online. It was Sean Hannity brought on an Occupy Wall Street guy, which he had on his radio show. Wait a minute. He brought him on the television show. Oh, my God. The kid, 29 years old, supposedly had a job. I have no idea what that he did, but it seemed to be a decent job. And now he does not have a job. But he said he's looking for a job in between protesting and all this other stuff. So Sean Hannity asked him on, and basically what it boiled down to was this guy, this kid, well, 29, I can't say he's a kid because he's not a kid. You know, if he was 17, I'd say he's a kid. But he was basically starting on capitalism and how bad it was and how it hasn't worked and how the government owes people a house, free health, a house, for heaven's sake.
Well, health care, education, all the way to PhD.
Exactly. Everything, right?
So did the Greeks. So did the Portuguese.
It's amazing. So after a while, Sean Hannity got fed up and it said, let me tell you what you should do. You should drag yourself out of bed at 6:30, shove some coffee down your throat, get on the street, start looking for a job, and, you know, move your butt. He used another word,
go shape up at a union hall.
Yep. Somewhere. Right, but listen to this. Sean said, "Well, why don't you just get a job, any job, because it's beneath him. It's beneath him."
What? What's beneath him?
Getting a job, like any job, like McDonald's, you know, construction work. It's beneath him.
Wait. Honest sweat for honest dollars.
Yep, it was beneath him because he has a college education. It's like what? So what are you going to do? So right now, this guy is in college, and he has these loans and everything that are paying for the rest of his education. He's getting a graduate degree, and he said, I'm not too sure where the money is coming from exactly. And Sean looked at him and said, well, it's coming from the taxpayers if it's a federal loan.
Well, listen, I went to graduate school on the taxpayer's dime.
Yeah, well, so did I. I got my bachelor's degree. I had a federal, you know, loan.
Well, no. I didn't have any loans. I went on the GI Bill.
Oh, so that. Oh, come on, you deserve that, dear. I have news.
Well, some people would say, oh, you know, That's an entitlement.
That's baloney. You served your country. You risked your life so the rest of us could live in comfort and in safety. So, no. You tell them to go, you know what.
Well, but I did. I did. I got my education on the taxpayer's dime.
Well, good. I'm glad you did.
Now, whether or not people would say, well, it's an entitlement, or whether people would say, as you just did, well, I risked my life for my country, or whether people would say, oh, well, you know, you don't know what it's like to live under the specter of a student loan.
Hey, I had a student loan. I paid it off.
I wish I had followed this up. I just didn't have time because, as you and the listeners may know, we've been moving my computer lab to the first floor, and it's been a hectic week, and doctor's appointments, et cetera. So there was a link I wish I had followed up. There was an Occupy protester in one of the feeds that actually went on an interview that thanked the Occupy movement for enlightening him and turned him on to capitalism v. socialism and turned him on to what working for a living means. Really? and turned him on to the fact that the Occupy people are... I saw a graphic, and if I could find it quickly, but I don't have all three computers turned on. Mm-hmm. If I could find it quickly, I'd shoot it to you. There was a woman with a bandana tied around her face, and you could tell from her eyes that she's a young woman, and I don't want to say 18, and I don't want to say 28, but somewhere in between.
Mm-hmm.
Holding a sign printed on a piece of cardboard box with a Sharpie that said, "All of my heroes are cop killers."
Oh, God, Nevin. But you know what? If she was in the process of being robbed or raped, she would be screaming help, and she would expect a cop to come and save her.
I got to tell you something. I posted it to my family, because, you know, I only maintain Facebook at this point for my family.
Mm-hmm.
I posted it on there, and I have cousins and second cousins, third cousins. I'm Italian. I got fifth cousins, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got those two.
Who were incredulous that this person was allowed to carry a sign like that without being taken into court by... I mean, if you had carried a sign, even in the Occupy movement, if you had carried a sign that said, "All of my heroes are Klansmen."
Yes.
You know, you'd have been in court so fast your eyes would have fallen out of your
mm-hmm.
head.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's true.
All of my heroes kill cops. Now,
that's free speech for them.
That's free speech. That's right. Now, having worn a badge, I take offense to it personally.
Mm-hmm. I have a brother that's a policeman.
And, you know, there was a graphic that delineated the difference between Occupy Wall Street and the Tea Party. As to things like assault charges, drug charges, sexual crime charges, and
vermin, rats,
the price of the price to the taxpayer of cleaning up the mess when they left, kind That's of right. charges.
Oh, come on! The extra police presence because they fight with these morons. Charges.
And you know, people don't. Oh well, you know, they're just expressing their First Amendment rights, like the Tea Party. No, they're not.
That's right.
No, they're not. This whole thing where they're going to disrupt traffic, they're going to, what was the May Day thing? They were going to stop all commerce in
yes.
New York City. They were going to stop all commerce. And then they busted, three of them? They were going to blow up a bridge?
Five
of them.
They were all anarchists. Yeah.
One. They were going to blow up a, wait. When did the Tea Party say they were going to blow up a bridge?
Mm-hmm. I know. Never.
No, I am not a Tea Partier. I mean, I appreciate what they do to some extent. I believe we are taxed enough already, quote unquote, mm-hmm. TEA, taxed enough already. But blowing up bridges?
That's
antithetical. Well, that's antithetical because the taxpayers would have to pay to replace the bridge. So,
that's right.
You know, that's antithetical to the Tea Party because we're already taxed enough. But... You know, Occupy this, that, and the other. You're going to blow up a bridge to stop commerce, and we're going to place packages of white powder and packages of pseudo-explosives, and we're going to... you know, to keep the cops running from here to there to the next place, so they'll leave us alone. What the heck?
But you know what? That actually failed because the press kept reporting how there were hundreds of protesters, not and thousands.
Nobody showed up.
Nobody showed up. It's only the stupid troublemakers, the ones that have always ingested the pablum that the communists and the socialists have fed them.
Well, exactly, the communists and socialists, because that was the
yep.
Wasn't that the basis for the fact that it was May Day?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yes.
You know, the Communist Workers Party of the Universe or whatever, May Day. I mean, you know, were they expecting to march down Broadway to the Bull, you know, with rockets on launchers and you know, carrying red flags with stars on it? Come on, people.
Yeah. Get a job. I would say to them, get a job, but unfortunately Obama has
ruined that. Yeah,
exactly.
It's like, wait, you're protesting the wrong half here.
But you see, they don't understand that. I really don't think they are. They don't understand. They don't know the difference between capitalism and communism.
You know, the free market. Saying Obama is doing what he can to eliminate growth. Yep. The people you're protesting are the people who create growth. You've got it backwards.
Yeah, they don't understand. They don't understand. It's just like, oh, yes, wait a minute. Wait, hang on a second. What happened in France today? Sarkozy lost.
Sarkozy lost.
Mm-hmm. And they
You know something? I have nothing particularly against Sarkozy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the reason he lost wasn't so much that he was the presence that he was. I think he wasn't enough. But I think he had the same issue that we've discussed before about the Republican Party here in the United States. I think his problem was he didn't take his gloves off.
That's true. Yeah, number one.
He decided to be le gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
And not dig down and not put his heels in the mud and fight. And I think that's a failure on his part. And I apologize to the French, which I'm sorry, we've done far too many times since 1944. But I apologize to the French for the fact that they just blew it.
Yeah, they did. Yeah,
they just blew it because the commies are now back in France, you know.
Yeah, well, you know what the thing is, too, is that Sarkozy was dealing with the stuff that Mitterrand, who was a socialist, put in place.
He was an avowed socialist. I mean, he had no qualms about it whatsoever.
That's right. So, you know, I mean, he was dealing with all the stuff that, you know, this stuff, it's just like, you know, years and years of a socialist economy and society. I mean, all of a sudden, you know, Sarkozy gets in and he isn't able to turn it around immediately, so people get upset. I mean, Hollande, on the thing is that, I mean, he said what he wants to do is that he wants to get a load of this, tax the rich more. You believe this? Does that sound familiar?
Painfully.
Yeah, yeah. He also wants to raise the minimum wage, and he wants.
Well, that's always the go-to thing, is raise the minimum wage.
Yeah, and raise taxes on big corporations.
Well, you know, other than a couple of pharmacological places, there aren't any major corporations left in France.
You know,
well, in Switzerland, they're all either in Switzerland or in Benelux. They're all around France.
Well, you know what? I'm reading one article here from the BBC News in which it talks about the socialist winning and what he wants to do. And then I go to the Financial Times, right? And then the article is about wealthy French. I move across the channel, which means all the French are going to take their money and run.
But the problem is, where are they going to run to? They say they're going to move across the channel. The way things are going in Britain these days, they're not going to be doing any better.
That's true.
Go up to Benelux, go over to Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, because you can't go to Italy because, you know, you're talking about a state that's been communist for
It's that shame. My gosh.
But, yeah, I know. It always hurts worse when it's a python. People say, well, at least they're not fascist. They were better off under the fascists because at least Mussolini made the trains run on time.
You know, and wait a minute, he also made children go to school and learn how to read and write. My grandma.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. If it wasn't for Mussolini.
Mussolini.
I'm sorry. Don't let it, please don't. People, listener, please don't expect the fact that I am pro-Mussolini. But I'm more pro-Mussolini than I am communist.
Well, he was a fascist. I mean, come on, he was fascist. Don't forget.
Yes.
You know. The funny thing was is that, listen to this. I got to tell a little personal story. My maternal grandmother, for some reason, well, she used to have a picture of Mussolini in the house, right? And she used to, and the reason she did was because he allowed her to go to school and learn how to read and write.
Exactly. Exactly.
And my grandfather used to have an absolute fit. He said, he goes, take that down. They're going to come and take us away.
Well, you know, every family, tutti famiglie, Italiana Americana, you know, all of the Italian American families always had a picture of the Pope.
Mm-hmm.
So, and in my house, you know, because some people, I know that I've spoken to Debbie and. There were pictures of, you know, the Pope and, of course, John F. Kennedy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go. It was the Irish.
Well, in our families, it was always the Pope and Frank Sinatra.
Oh, okay. Well, Frank Sinatra was a god in my house. What are you kidding?
Yeah, of course. You know, the chairman of the board. You know, so you got the chairman of the board and the chairman of the board.
Well, you see, the thing is that my house, and I'm sure in yours, because he was an Italian guy from New Jersey who made good.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, and we you know, of course, Lou Monti, you know.
Yeah.
Granted, these are musicians, you know, granted. It's not the same thing as saying John F. Kennedy. It's not the same thing as, some of the other...
I'm sorry, Amerigo Vespucci?
Amerigo Vespucci?
Hey, how about the person... Hey, listen, I've done my research here. The head, the person who started, I believe, now called the Bank of America... was called the People's Bank of Italy?
Yes, it was. Yes. Yeah, now that you mention it, yes, it was. It was the People's Bank. And it wasn't the same thing as Banco Popular.
Nope.
Which was the Spanish bank in New York City for many years. Big, big bank.
That's
right. It financed how many revolutions in Central America? I mean,
I'm sorry, folks, but we're both very proud of our heritage, and that's what happens when you get two Italians together, for heaven's sake.
Especially from New Jersey.
Exactly.
You people in the North End listening, yeah, that's right, I said it.
Yeah, but you know what, though? I've been to the North End. They're the same there.
They're the same thing, only different. You know,
I don't know. They're the same. I mean, you know, I actually went down there with a friend one time, right? I got to tell you this, too. And so we're walking around the North End and everything, and there's two guys sitting in a car. Come on. Now, anybody who knows, who lives in a city area, okay, where there's Italians, you need to sit down, you sit in a car, okay?
Yeah, all right. Of course.
Yeah, okay. So, anyway.
Well, I mean, you know, in a car or, you know, some cafe or Latticini, you know.
Well,
whatever.
Yeah, or if you have you bring two chairs outside from your house, you sit on the kitchen chairs, okay?
You know, or the stoop, you know.
The stoop, okay, but this is the North End, and there's no stoops, okay? You come out of, like, an apartment area. So, anyway, we're walking past these two guys, and the wind was blowing. I just happened to turn my face to the car, you know, and he looks at me, he goes, those guys winked at you. I said, yeah. They winked at you. I said, that's Italian guys. I said, I'm sorry.
They recognize Uma walking by.
Exactly. And he's just, oh my God. And the guy's Ukrainian. I love him. Nice guy and everything. But, you know, he was visiting, and I said, let's go down the north. They winked at you. I said, well, yeah, that's what Italian guys do.
That's it. That's part of it.
It didn't faze me in the least, you know? I'm sorry, you know.
Of course not. You know, I mean, the part that used to amuse me, I remember the very last time I was in Little Italy down in New York City, And I took a. I was always the go-to guy when people came in from all over the country. I was with Harley-Davidson Motor Company for some years.
Mm-hmm.
And when people would come in from either Milwaukee or Talladega or York, Pennsylvania, or any of those places, and they'd be hitting New York City for whatever reason, the Javits Center shows and stuff like that, I was always the go-to guy because being from down neck, and I used to do things like play hooky, go to New York City. I was always the go-to guy when people were coming to New York to take them around, so to speak.
Okay.
And the last batch of people I took from either the motor company or wherever that I took to New York City were walking around down Little Italy and stuff. And of course, you know that the difference between, you know, Canal Street, Mulberry Street, you change ethnicity by 13,000 miles in a block and a half. And the fact that people who are obviously of Oriental descent,
yes,
standing outside the Italian restaurants, you know, because there's always a barker out there outside, you know, come on in for dinner, we got a special dinner, there's anything, you know, we've got Ugeno Speciale, you know, we've got a special dinner. And you look at them, and they're obviously Oriental, and they were flabbergasted. They didn't know how to handle that, because I would, of course, respond to them in Italian, and you never knew if they actually got what you were saying, because did they actually speak Italian or just recite something? And people were amazed at the fact that there were Oriental extracted people, ethnically, because you could see it in their face.
Right.
Trying to come on people in Italian in Little Italy, and they didn't know. I said, look, you're in New York City. You're not in Milwaukee.
That's right.
You're not in New York, Pennsylvania. This is the capital of the world.
That's right. Yep.
Do not be surprised. You go from one block with cheeses and stuff hanging in the window to another block with smoked ducks hanging in the window and barrels, literally Rubbermaid, no plug for Rubbermaid, but Rubbermaid garbage cans full of live frogs on the next block.
That's right, yeah. They're right next to each other, yep.
And what else describes America better?
That's true. That's true.
What else describes America better than that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, people sit there and they worry about... we saw a thing in the news blurbs this week about some neo-Nazi that was part of a five-way murder-suicide this past week. And we see things that have to do with the Guantanamo trials and the United States attorneys telling the assorted attorneys involved, the female attorneys involved, to put on, God's help my memory.
What, a burqa or less modest?
Not a burqa, the other, the scarf gizmatic that the
jahib?
Yeah, walking.
Jihab or whatever the heck it is.
Jahab or jahib. I apologize to anybody listening of Muslim extraction. I you know.
I don't.
But the fact that, well, I don't mean to, you know, I have no love lost there either, but I don't like to pronounce something incorrectly or what have you. I mean, there's enough tension without me adding to it by just saying, oh, that neck scarf thing, you know. But the United States attorney telling the female attorneys involved to cover up.
That's completely ridiculous. I'm sorry.
But, you know, this is the way America works.
Yeah.
You give and you take. Fair is fair. No, you don't step on me, I don't step on you. But when you look at New York City and you see these cross-cultural, cross-international boundary, cross-ethnic things happening, and you say, sorry, folks, this is the way it's supposed to work.
Well, yeah, sure it is. But unfortunately, these Islamists, these you know, radical Islamists, don't want it that way. They want one culture, theirs.
They want one culture, theirs, and they want it to go back to the 11th century, and they want...
You betcha.
As far as I'm concerned, you're on trial for war crimes against the United States of America.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And you're going to tell me that the trial is invalid because the woman was not wearing hijab.
Mm-hmm. That's it, hijab.
Sorry, you're wrong.
Yes.
You're wrong. That's an American woman.
That's right.
You don't live under Sharia law.
That's right.
You do? Okay, fine. You do. Go ahead. Have a nice day. In the meantime, guilty. Next.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, or innocent. Next. Whatever. The findings of the court. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's Malawi, Malaki, you know.
Yep.
Whatever name you got.
Whatever he's called.
You know, the point isn't a question of whether or not the women are dressed appropriately to your liking. The point is you committed war crimes against the United States of America, or you're accused, you're allegedly committed. And we're going to find, you know, we're going to examine the evidence sub judice and say you're either guilty or you're innocent.
Yep.
And if the big issue for you is what the way the woman is dressed, we've got more important issues on the table.
Yep. Speaking of Al-Qaeda, did you know they released Bin Laden's papers that they found at the compound?
Papers, but where's the doggone pictures?
Oh, they refused to release them.
And now they are sealed permanently.
Exactly, which I think is slap in the face to the American people. I think we have the right to see those.
We do, but at least publish the evidence that they have that proves genetically DNA evidence that it was him.
That's true. That is a good point.
I don't need to see his. I mean, I'd like to, but you know, in the contortions of being taken out by a fistful of our Navy SEALs, whether it was our SEALs, a missile, I don't care how he went. I want that proof right there because you know, seeing something dead and blown up don't confront me one bit.
Yep.
But I want that concrete. I want that. As a matter of fact, I want concrete so hard they could rebuild the World Trade Center on it as a foundation.
Yep.
I want the world to see, feel, know, hear, taste, and touch the fact that he is gone. We got him. Next.
Yep. Yep. I agree. But you know, Bin Laden, what he... I have to admit, he said a few interesting things, and I thought I would never in my life agree with a terrorist, but I do on this one point, in which he unfortunately says he wanted to assassinate Barack Obama. As much as I disagree with the man, and I don't like the way he's running this country, that's the last thing I want to see. But he said that it would put Biden in charge, and he wasn't worried about Biden because he was, you know, total incompetent. And I have to admit, I agree with him on that, you know?
I agree with him on the points of order and the fact that
Joe Biden
is incompetent.
He is. He's totally unprepared for the post, he said. Which, yeah, he is, you know?
He is. I don't wish any harm to the President of the United States of America. The only harm I wish on the United States, the President of the United States of America, is he loses the election. That's the only harm. You know what? That little bit of personal effrontery to him, I wish on him. Mm-hmm. You know, other than that, I wish him long life and health. I take precedent for that in Fiddler on the Roof.
Yep.
Where they say, Rabbi, 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 is there a prayer for the Tsar? And the rabbi says, may God bless and keep the Tsar far away from us.
Yes, exactly.
And that's all may Barack Hussein Obama live to be 150 years old in retirement.
That's right. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, wait. Did you see what his campaign is doing now about Julia?
I didn't see what they're doing about her.
Oh my God! I just know that
the whole Julia thing. If Romney doesn't grab that like a Band-Aid on an open cut, he's a fool.
Yep. Well, it starts from a woman named Julia. At age 3, how she starts at Head Start, you know, and it focuses on her life through every stage of her life, from when she starts Head Start and goes into school and then how she, and thanks to Barack Obama, and everything starts with thanks to Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And at every stage of her life, when she applies for college and she goes through college.
Yeah. Like, he had anything to do with it all this time.
I know. It goes through, like, you know, 60 years of her life, for heaven's sake. You know, he's not supposed to be even in, you know, office, but maybe he is. Maybe he's going to become dear leader, you know.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, we know there's a possibility of that. And goes through the fact that, oh, yes,
no, there's no problem. There's what? No possibility of him becoming dear leader. There's every possibility of him becoming His Royal Highness.
Well, no, I think it's dear leader, more of a communist society. But anyway, and then it focuses on all the phases of her life. You know, Julia decides to have a baby. What do you mean she decides to have a baby? Oh, okay. So, and there's no mention of marriage.
I don't want to get rude here.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I don't want to get rude, because you know I'm against that. And as a matter of fact, I was called to task for thanking the quote-unquote tinfoil hat crowd of the Romney, not Romney, I'm sorry, the Ron, the Ron Ulans.
Oh, okay, I call them both Paulettes, but that's...
Well, they're calling them now, that the big thing is Ron Ulans in some sort of a... But the thing is, I thanked the tinfoil hat crowd, and somebody took me to task because, you know, I don't go for the fact that people call names and make up little names. Some people call him O'Bummer, and some people call him O'Dummer, and some, you know, there are all kinds of words that people use to describe the POTUS and the vice president and all this, and Pelosi and Reid.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't engage in that. But, you know, I was taken to task for calling the Ron Paul crowd the tinfoil hat crowd. And I delineated it out by saying, if you took Ron Paul's base, his base.
Okay.
You know, his true base, the people he would appeal to if he had no mass appeal whatsoever, the people who would vote for him in any other year. You know, the 0.3% of the American population, these are people who are lone gunmen, you know, grassy knoll, black helicopter,
contrails.
Contrails, you know, yeah. Yellow contrails, vapor trails. Vapor, you know, yeah. All these kind of people, that would be his base.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, so I'm sorry, I don't apologize for thanking the tinfoil hat, because if you took them out of his electorate and just left it to the people who are not tinfoil hat wearers, he'd still have less than 1% of the vote.
Yep.
So I said, you know, I don't go for name-calling, you know, derogatory kind of name-calling. I don't go for that. But in this case, it was applicable. And I think the Julia story is right down that alley. I think this is something that, as I said before, if Romney doesn't jump on it, he's a fool. Because this is a woman who most of her life, Barack Hussein Obama had nothing to do with.
That's right.
And they're using this as some sort of a banner, some sort of a guide on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some sort of a
Well, they're basically trying to say that, you know, if Barack Obama doesn't become president again and enact these policies and these programs, that this woman, Julia, quote unquote, whoever she may be, will not be able to live her life as she wants to, you know?
Well, you know what? I don't care.
I don't care either. And you know what I mean? It's like, I'm tired. I'm sorry. If you want to do all these things, find a way to do it on your own.
Just like everybody else.
Well, there are at least those of us out there.
Well, except for the 99%. You know, of course, you know.
Well, right. Well, listen, let me tell you something. I was speaking to a woman yesterday. She was, she's a business owner, okay, small business owner. She has a lovely little antique and decorating shop that I go to quite a bit. And, I buy all these fantastic things from her, and we started talking about politics. Turns out she's a, you know, hardline conservative, close to libertarian, but she does not like Ron Paul. She agrees very much with his fiscal fiscal ideas.
His economics, yes.
Economics, definitely. Yeah, yeah. But she said foreign policy, forget it.
Foreign policy, domestic policy.
She's like, forget it.
All of the social issues, etc. He's a abject loser.
Yeah. So she said, but she said, and I have to agree with her because I have said this before, that he should be given a chance.
Chairman of the Fed.
Yes, get him in there and just tear
Secretary
the Fed apart.
Treasury.
Yeah, well, tear the Fed apart. I mean, give him carte blanche and say, here, you have at it. You know, I really think that whoever becomes president, and you know, I hope to God it's Romney. I never thought I would be saying this because know, I was a Newt Gingrich supporter. However,
I'm gonna do the classic hold my nose and pull the lever.
Yeah, but you know, I gotta admit, Romney's starting to come up and show. You know, he made a comment last week. He goes, I understand. He said Obama's new slogan is progress. He goes, oh no, it's forward. He goes, forward. Forward where? Over a cliff?
Exactly.
I thought that was excellent. And
the lemmings right behind him, the Pied Piper.
But go for it, Romney. You know, sure. Hit him hard.
Take it off and go. But, you know, I mean, when I look at the fact that there was a blurb that came over, and, you know, I'm a proponent of the fair tax.
Yes.
Not a flat tax, not the 9 points or whatever it was that Herman Cain...
999.
Yeah, that's what it was. 999 of Herman Cain. Because Herman Cain originally was a proponent of a fair tax.
That's right.
For many years. And then all of a sudden he came up with this 999, which, I'm sorry, more so than any mistress he may have had, sunk him because he lost his popular support.
Mistress, you know that.
I know that, but that's the point I'm making is what sunk his popular support, or I shouldn't say popular support, his academic support.
Okay.
What sunk him was when he moved from the fair tax to the 999 thing. When I see the fact that the chairman of the IRS, or the department leader of the head honcho, whatever it is, the fact that there was a report done that illegalis are making between $11,000 and $15,000 a year in a loophole of their taxes, saying they didn't pay any taxes, but they're supporting nephews, nieces, children, this thing, who still don't even live with them but live in Mexico.
Jeez.
And because of this, even though they didn't pay anything in, they have this option of getting this credit for supporting these children up to 26 years old.
Jeez Louise.
In foreign countries and getting between $11,000 and $15,000 tax refunds to the point where last year, it was 2010, it was, the 2011 figures aren't in yet, it was $4.2 billion in tax refunds to illegal aliens supporting children in different countries. And the fact that it's been going on for years and probably comes to double-digit billion of dollars worth of tax refunds to illegal aliens. And, well, you know, there's really nothing we can do about it.
Are you kidding me?
I am not kidding. Google it.
Oh, my God.
Google IRS refund to illegal aliens and see what...
Oh, man. And, you know, do you know that we paid more in taxes this year? Because I have to take off mileage because, you know, my company doesn't give me mileage, so I have to, you know, figure out my mileage. Well, guess what? 20% less was covered this year.
20% less is covered.
Blast
it! Even though it went up from 53.5 cents to 57... 57 and 4 tenths cents.
I don't know. We just,
but I mean, it's three cents a mile more. But they took 20% out.
Yeah, and it's just like, forget it, folks. You know,
well, as far as I'm concerned, even if all they do is hand Ron Paul the chairmanship of the Internal Revenue Service, we're doing better. But don't let him near a social issue. Don't let him near drug enforcement.
That's right.
Don't let him near, you know, immigration. Don't let him near foreign policy.
Yeah.
You know, don't let him near. But hand him something completely economic and turn him loose. Yeah, I agree with his supporters. He would knock them dead. knock them dead in those positions.
That's right.
But not Veep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not President.
No.
Not even Secretary of State. No, 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 no.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Put him in charge of the postal service and he'd clean up that mess.
That's true. Oh my gosh, what he would do with, to them. I mean, I have to agree with him. You know, I mean, you know, but you know, a lot of people are going, wait a minute, you know? And he's just too far out there on foreign policy. He really is.
Yeah, I mean, you know, TFH, tinfoil hat.
Yeah, that's true. That's
you know, I mean, the man has all but said, well, you know, when the mothership comes down.
Yeah, that's true.
So on December 21st of 2012, when the mothership comes down to take the anointed, I mean, he stopped just short of saying that. And I'm not kidding here, people. Go and Google Ron Paul, 1995. You know, not 2011, not 2012, not 2010.
Okay.
Google Ron Paul in 2000, you know, 1999, 1998, and read some of his speeches. The man is
out there. But
and I feel bad because he would do an excellent job. The man's amazing accountant, I suppose. But, you know, and a physician, I'm sure he's probably a very good physician. But
he's an obstetrician.
But, okay.
OBGYN.
Well,
I don't know. Speaking as a woman.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. No, I don't. No. Are you 486, boys and girls?
Well, I don't think. Is he for that? I don't know.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Let's put it this way. Let's sum up Ron Paul with the fact that I think if I could describe two words to describe Ron Paul, it's go away.
Yeah, because I don't like the fact that he wants to interfere with.
He intends. Yeah. I told you this weeks and
you
weeks
did.
Ago.
You did. You are right on this point.
He is not going away. He has no intention of going away. He has never intended to go away. He has every intention of, because he knows that next time around, 2016, he knows that if anything, they'll point to him and say, oh, you're too old.
That's true.
And he has no intention, just like Ralph Nader, he has no intention of going any place. Ralph Nader, okay, look, the Corvair was not a good car. We get it. We do. The Pinto was not a good car. We get it. We do. Other than that, Ralphie.
Go away.
Here's your cubicle. Here's your keyboard. Here's your monitor. Have a nice day.
That's
you know, and Ron Paul, same thing. Look, here's your cubicle. Type away. Have a nice time. Go away.
You know what? You mentioned 2012. My husband the other day had mentioned something that he saw. He doesn't know whether it was, he doesn't remember whether it was on Facebook or something like that, but they were talking about, the person was talking about the fact that Dick Clark died,
mm-hmm.
right? And, gee, isn't it ironic that he died in 2012? It's going to be supposedly the last year of the Mayan calendar.
It is the last year of the Mayan calendar.
Well, I know that, but the thing is that the, you know, a lot of people are saying 2012 is it.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what I believe.
But wait a minute. Isn't it strange that Dick Clark dies?
No, I mean, no.
No, come on, come on. I'm just saying, come on.
No, it's out there. You're right. It's right there with the black helicopter.
I mean, but it's like...
I believe, and I'll cut in for a second, I believe the response was, well played, Mayans. Well played.
Well played.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, come on. I mean, you have to look at it. I mean, let's get a little light here. I mean, the poor man dies, but, you know, we're not going to have to worry about him celebrating, you know, 2013 coming in because...
Yes, I get it. I do.
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad somebody does.
No, I listen, God bless his soul. I growing up in Newark, New Jersey, the American Bandstand was a part of our television schedule. You know, with the exception of, you know, when the president was on, you know. But, I mean, you know.
Not only is
Dick Clark dead, but Ryan Seacrest is sick. So, listen, the Mayans. The calendar does end, but I have several theories on that.
Okay, go ahead.
One is, first of all, if you look at the stone that it's carved into, there wasn't any more room.
That's right. Exactly. That's what I'm thinking. There was no more room. So
it's like you get to the bottom of the page, you turn the page over, you're right to the bottom of the page. Well, okay, both sides, it's done. You know, you either got to go get another sheet of paper, which they haven't found another stone. You know, or look, you look at a carving like that and you realize that this is a man's life work.
That's right.
You know, this is his magnum opus. This is his thing. You know,
and he probably dropped dead.
He went home for lunch and dropped dead.
That's right.
He was 75 years old, this little old man. He's been carving for 40 years. He gets home and takes a break. He has a... What did they used to drink? Beer, you know, the Mayans.
No, they went home and had
a dried fish and a beer and fell down dead. You know, or he woke up one morning dead. You know, one or the other. And as far as that goes, look, you know, the whole thing came up 2 years ago. And more than one, especially people who are actually experts in pre-Columbian stuff like that. My areas of interest in the history of the world do not include pre-Columbian Mesoamerica, and I admit to having some ignorance there. But more than one scholar who this is their thing has come out and said, it doesn't say the world's going to end. It says there's going to be a major change.
That's right. Yes.
In the world. I mean, the Kali Yuga world cycles of Hindu India, you know, every 600 or 6,033 years or something, the world changes. There's a different, at the age of Aquarius, you know, when the moon is in the seventh house and Jupiter aligns with Mars,
yes,
you know, there are changes in the ages, and they talk about indigo children and diamond adults, and there are changes that take place in the, you know, in the sidereal and in the astronomical, and the Mayans chose to write that down. Does that mean the world's going to end? Does that mean there's a planet killer asteroid that we haven't found yet that's going to hit the Pacific? No.
Yeah,
no, it doesn't.
No. Not in that. No, not.
You know, but if it does, at least poor Dick Clark won't have to worry about work.
Oh my gosh, we are really going here, aren't we, sweetie?
Yes. We're all over the map. You know.
Why not?
You know. Where were we?
I forgot.
Before you said, okay, Luke, go ahead, run off. You know.
But hey, I was right there in the car with you, sweetie.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it was a Prius or something.
Oh, God, no. Are you kidding? I want a BMW or a Mercedes. Thank you very
heck
much.
With that. I want a 68 Caddy DeVille. That's what
I
want.
No, actually, I want a 64. I want a 64 a Mustang. Red.
Yeah, no, 64 Mustangs were tinfoil. They were not.
Yeah, no, they weren't. They were.
Oh, they rattled and shook. My goodness, hair going up and down the street. I remember those. My goodness. A 71 Mustang Mach 1, maybe.
No, Mach 1's a piece of crap. What are you kidding me?
They had 350, 351 Cleveland engines in them. My goodness, they'd top out at 140 miles an hour on regular gas.
I am talking about a classic, my dear. A nice, beautiful...
You want a classic. You want a classic. You want the car that... don't say that.
I'm sorry. Sorry to all the people out there.
They don't understand. Man. But the point I'm saying, you want my car before I went into service.
Yeah.
That's what you want.
It was
a 55 Chevy Bel Air two-door.
Okay. Now, yeah. All right.
With a 454... Chevrolet motor with 500 CID Cadillac hearse heads on it with a GMC 671 blower sticking up out of the hood, developing 521 horsepower going through a double-plated clutch down to a GMC truck transmission four on the floor out to a Pontiac rear that would tear up a quarter of a mile in 1972 in 11-1.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
I used to take it down to Avenue P in Newark. I swear, if I'm lying, I'm dying. I had a stack of pinks in my glove compartment.
They got you, didn't they?
No. Pink slips. Registrations. Titles.
Oh, registrations. Okay.
Oh, well, when it comes to summonses, my God, I had 5 inches thick of that. Well, the ones that could catch me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they always say, there's one car you can't outrun, Motorola. Avenue P in Newark, Dreamboat in Newark, I went in the Army, and that's all.
Well, you know what it was? Well, the car of my generation that was souped up was a Nova. Usually.
Oh, the Novas. I had a 350 Nova in the early 80s. I had a 350 Nova. It was worked out pretty good. It was a 72 Nova, and I'll tell you something, that thing could jump.
Yeah. I had a friend of mine that souped up his Nova. It was a, I want to say a 68 or 70, somewhere around that, 69 I think it was. And, you know, back was jacked up, and it was great.
I had a 71 Vega wagon
mm-hmm.
that I gave to, literally gave, because I had no use for it. It had a, the original engine had some sort of a flaw, and there was a recall on it, but it was way later than then, so I couldn't do anything about it. The engine, anytime you'd take your foot off the gas, it would Murphy. And I just got to the point. I mean, I used to have a good time with it. You know where the tunnel is between Irvington and on the Parkway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Under 280.
Yeah.
I used to Murphy that thing underneath that.
Oh my God.
I was working in Union and living in Belleville, so you know it was tough because I used to have to go under that thing twice a day, and every time I'd back off and pop, boom. So I blew the muffler clean off the car. But so I gave it to a cousin of mine who put a 350 in it. And he used to run around North Carolina in it. And he was actually able to outrun Motorola with that car.
Mm-mm-mm.
I don't know what he was doing with it. And I personally don't care because it was out of my name. So I didn't care what he did with
exactly.
it. But anyways, we're all off on this hot rod thing.
We got to stop this, okay.
We got to stop this. You know, there's something wonderful about being a bison from New Jersey in the 50s, 60s, and 70s that the Mittagani can't grab, and that the people younger than us by even a few years just can't get. I mean, they just can't get it. Not that they won't. Not that they don't want to try, they just can't. No matter what they can do, the whole thing with the commercials, Raceway Park.
Oh
I mean,
my
they
gosh,
just,
yes.
You know, cousin Brucey and Dan Ingram and Ron Lundy. I mean, they're just not going to get it. I'm sorry. You know, the Officer Joe Bolton and Captain Jack McCarthy on PI.
Oh my God, I remember that. Oh my God, I haven't thought of that in years.
And you know what? And the Yule log from Gracie Mansion on Channel 11 every year.
Yes, yes.
They're not going to get it. They're just not going to get it.
No, sometimes it's a little thing in life. Yeah.
But I mean, they're not going to get it. Look, there's nothing wrong with an 82 Firebird Trans Am IROC.
Oh my gosh.
There's nothing wrong with it. If all you want to do is go to and from work every day. You know, there's nothing wrong with a Corvette, except I remember one of the female comics years ago used to say whenever they saw a man over 40 in a Corvette, she used to yell out, "Sorry about your penis."
That's a good one. I like that.
But I think it was Judy the Goddess Tenuta used to say that.
Oh, yes, Judy Tenuta, yes.
And not that it mattered because she didn't swing that way anyway, but
she didn't?
God. No. Oh, God, no. Oh, she was a woman. Yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Definitely a woman with a Y, you know. W-O, it was the song W-O-M-A-N. No, it was W-O-M-Y-N. Anyway, I digress. They're not going to get
always.
It.
No.
As always. Yeah, all right, fine. Busted. But they're not going to get it. They can't get it. No matter what we say, no matter how we try and say it, but this is my point about the fact that they're not going to get it. That doesn't make us wrong.
No. No.
The fact that I use words like stoop to describe where my family sat in the summertime because you stand, you know, we were three floors up, there were no elevator. Three floors up down Neck, Newark, New Jersey, we were sitting there. You'd be on the stoop. You know, and you knew everybody who walked by.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Mrs. Roselli and Mrs. Baglioni, and they, you knew these people, they knew you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody knew each other, and you had the tripe man, and you had the Biangoline man used to come around, and you had
The fruit man,
the produce man, the guy with the junk dealer, and we had horses clip clopping on the cobblestone street. You can't get it, boys and girls. You can't.
No, you can't.
And that's okay. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But don't look askance at us who can, when we want to preserve. No, I don't want to bring back the horse going down the cobblestone streets. But I don't want to go back to camels walking across the sand either.
Well, you know what? I think Obama and his ilk want to bring back the horses. They're a bunch of Luddites. You know, nothing, you know, they don't want to do any of that stuff. They don't, no drilling for oil or coal or anything like that.
No, not only no drilling for, no mining for uranium.
Yeah, exactly. No, but he wants to, you know what he'll do? I'll be honest with you. This is what I think. If, for some reason, and it's a possibility, if there was widespread voter fraud and, you know, all this other stuff, and he does get reelected, I think he's going to sell our mineral rights to foreign entities.
They're bringing foreign troops here.
Yeah, I know, but I still think what he's going to do is he's going to sell all our mineral rights in the federal lands to foreign entities in order to redistribute everything fairly throughout the world.
Okay, fine. So we get titanium. And we get uranium, and we get, you know, what we need from other countries. Is that how it's going to work?
Oh, God, you know that's not going to work that way. Come on, that's not how it works. No, he strips us and gives to the world to equalize everything. And,
so when
and makes
plug,
what?
When I want to plug my laptop into the wall, where's it going to come from?
Who knows?
Where's it going to come from?
Who knows? You might not be able to do that because
we don't want to burn oil. We don't want to burn coal. We don't want to tap wind because it's dangerous to birds. We don't want to use hydro because it's dangerous to fish. We don't want to use tidal because it's environmentally insensitive. We don't want to use. How many different forms of energy are there?
Well, there's the ones that are out there, and then there's the ones that work. Yeah, you know,
they all work.
Yes, to a certain extent, but you have the wind stuff that actually needs a generator in order to function. You know, and then you have, and it's usually, coal fired plants that usually run those generators on the wind turbines. Yes, I've looked it up.
Yes. But my point is the problem with the generators is they all come from. East Germany.
China, what are you kidding?
Or China.
Yeah.
Or Japan.
There was East Germany.
You know, the thing is, there were a couple of programs, as I said, we don't have television, but we catch some of the stuff on some of the streaming channels, whether it's Netflix, Hulu, wherever. And there are some of these programs that show things that people can do in their own homes. And wind... And biomass gasification.
That's a new one.
Oh, biomass gasification.
Well, that's for me. I mean, for me, it's a new one. I've never heard of that.
Yeah, no. Biomass gasification is where you take an organic waste and you actually don't burn it. But have you ever seen the way charcoal is made, where you burn wood in the absence of oxygen and it turns into charcoal?
Okay, yeah. Well,
we don't use a lot of... as a matter of fact, we had a barbecue yesterday, and we used what that stuff you see in the hardware stores, the natural charcoal, as opposed to that. Basically, it's scrap wood that's burned in the absence of oxygen, and it turns into charcoal.
Mm-hmm.
And they do basically, it's almost the same thing but different. They digest biomass to produce methane.
Okay.
And the methane is used as a fuel to power either a boiler or directly turn a turbine to create electricity. And these things are very nice. And man, people can do them on a very small scale. There was one program that I saw, a fellow from Pennsylvania who was a bit odd, face it. But he actually ran a truck on manure.
Oh, I'm sure his neighbors love that. I'm sorry.
He had a sign on the back of the truck that said, keep back just so far, you know, and people wouldn't, and they'd, all of a sudden, son of a gun, they'd back off.
If they got too slow, too close.
But the idea is that these things do work, and they're small-scale available stuff. Mm-hmm. I get that. Mm-hmm. But small-scale available to run my laptop, not quite as feasible as saying, well, I'm going to plug into the power grid.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, the same thing, people are concerned, and I know that Burger King, not a plug, but Burger King in the last week or week and a half came out with a thing saying they're only going to buy their meat from, face it, PETA's out of the question, but from more responsible sources,
mm-hmm.
non-abuse sources.
Okay.
You know, kind of a thing. Not saying they're not going to have hormones in their beef or any of that, but they're saying they're going to buy their eggs from places that don't abuse the chickens. They're going to buy their chicken from places that don't abuse their chickens. They're going to buy their beef from places that don't abuse the beef. I get that. I do.
Okay. But
when it comes right down to feeding an entire nation, and heck with that, feeding an entire world, that's not feasible.
Yeah.
It's nice to say, but it's not. But, I mean, you know, when it comes right down to Monsanto and Archer Daniels Midland and Genentech and places like that, there's a lot of room for improvement. And the thing is, if people don't pay attention,
mm-hmm.
and here we go, I'm making a link here. If people don't
make a link. Go ahead.
People don't pay attention to the fact that Barack Hussein Obama wants to give our mineral rights away. People who don't pay attention to the fact that he wants every child to be fed 3 squares a day in the schools. Paying attention to the fact that he wants redistribution of assets to the point where everyone gets 3 square meals a day, but it doesn't matter if those 3 square meals a day are irradiated or genetically modified or made out of carcinogens.
Yeah.
They're spraying on some of our cornfields Agent Orange.
Yep.
This stuff matters, people. You don't have to be a Ron Paul supporter.
Yep.
You don't have to be a Ron Paul supporter. You don't have to wear a tinfoil hat to see this stuff.
Yep. He is dangerous to this country, and we're just going to have to keep an eye on him, aren't we?
The only thing we're going to have to keep an eye on is he's on a boat back to Kenya.
Let's hope. From your lips to
God's ears. Or Hawaii. I don't care where he lives. Just not in the White House.
Yeah. Got to get him out. And with that.
You got to be kidding me.
We got to wrap this up, sweetie.
You got to be kidding me. Let me go on that long that an hour and 18 minutes is garbage?
You have been keeping track, haven't you?
You're killing me here.
Well, why. We have to cut it.
Oh, I get that, but I didn't realize that we burned up an hour and 18 minutes.
Hey, we were going today, kiddo.
Listen, tell you what.
What?
On top of the fact that I've got to tell the people of America, doggone it, wake up and smell the coffee.
That's right.
Heritage.org, boys and girls, get that copy of the Constitution of the United States. Put it in your vest pocket, because if nothing else, it just may stop a bullet.
You betcha, baby.
But before you have to worry about that, read it.
That's right.
Every American, if you're an American citizen and you're listening to me and you are not a convicted felon, join the NRA.
That's it.
Buy a gun, get the training, put it in your hip, and keep it there.
Yeah.
It's going to matter.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks to our troops. May they be safe. May they all come home.
And soon.
And those that have lost their lives, they're singing with the angels.
And may they all rest in peace, and may their families find peace in whatever God they pray to. And speaking of God, may God bless the United States of America.
Samson, speak! Good boy.